I want to start off, I want to read a couple of excerpts from Esther's book when we're talking about kingdom men, because I believe that God is calling for his kingdom men, amen, to stand up and lead and be the covering that he has designed them to be. And when I talk about kingdom men, I'm not talking about a man. It's the difference between a man and a male. See, a male talks about the sex that you were born with. That's what distinguishes a male. See, a man refers and points to the character that you have, the character that you develop. It's a difference between a male and a man. And I just want to, when it relates to building kingdom men and kingdom men stepping up, I just want to read a couple of passages from Pastor Bobby's book that I really believe that relates to the topic for today. Let's see. Here we go. He talks about, first off, it starts off, it says, every young man looks up to someone. Whether they know it or not, they take cues on how a man should conduct himself, speak, and dress. One who he considers worth looking up to. The problem, as history reveals, is that the number of strong role models for young African-American men has decreased significantly over the past few decades. And I want to jump over and read it one more portion of his book where he talks about being the kingdom men, and this is what he says. He says, can you be anything that you have not seen? Can you be a black man if you have not seen a black man? Can you be a saved black man if you haven't seen a saved black man? If you haven't seen a black man tithe, if you haven't seen a black man pray in the house, it's going to be difficult, if not difficult, to emulate him. And I think that this is very true. I think this is right on point when it comes to being a man. And the example that I have for that is just with me and my son. I have a five-year-old son. And the thing that I want to let all our men know is that our children, especially our sons, are watching us. They're looking to learn from us and what we do. A quick example is me and my son is five. He has a lot of energy, so I try to take him to the track to run out that energy, you know, so he won't be running around the house. So we go to the track all the time, and we running around the track, and we doing things, and I'm encouraging him, and we're running. And sometimes when we stop to get water, I'll drink some water, you know, get refreshed, and then I'll drink some water and wish it around my mouth and spit it out. Just to, you know, clean my mouth out or whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden, day after day, I started noticing that now when my son drinks water, he spits it out. I'm like, you have to drink the water first and, get rehydrated before you spit it out. And every time we run it, he gets the water and he spits it out because he was watching what daddy did. See, our sons and our children are watching and taking cues for the things that we do so they can know how they should conduct themselves. And the thing is, it goes a little deeper than that. So that was just a physical, just an emulation. He was trying to copy a carbon copy. But when we as men stand up and take the lead and be the example for what our young men and even our daughters of what a man is supposed to look like, then they start creating, building on those values for themselves. Because check this out. My wife, she started coming out to the track with us. Now, you know, my wife said, give it up for my wife. Give it up. Sorry. Hey, look. She started coming out to the track with us, right? So we running around. We getting exercise. And we're running. And I had noticed something that was amazing. As we're running, now my wife, she ain't used to running, so, you know, Jaden's smoking her. He beating her. She up there running. You know, it was a little bit of a struggle. And so Jaden, he runs past her to the finish line. And normally when I run past Jaden to the finish line, I stay at the finish line. I'm like, come on, boy, keep running. Don't pump your arms. But what I noticed this day when Tracy came out, Jaden ran back to his mom. And he ran alongside her, and he said, come on, mommy, you can do it. Come on. Come on, mommy, pump your arms. Keep going. You can run. Keep doing it. And he was encouraging her, and it was based on how what he saw me doing, how he seen me encourage him. He then took on his own, took it upon himself to be an encourager, to see how he should build up people and make them feel well about themselves. And he said it was so funny. The funniest thing he said when his mom finally got to the finish line, he said, he said, "Mommy, even though you're slow, you're still fast." and that was just a proud dad moment for me. And it just really shows how it's important. If our young men, if our women are going to be able to understand what it means to be a man and to see a man and to interact with men, we as kingdom men have to be the example. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about God's call for his kingdom men to lead, dealing with the book of Genesis chapter 3. I want to talk about the story of Adam and Eve falling, because I believe that it's in this story that it's key principles that God wants us to get from this story about his calling his men. All right? Let's see. Let me know when you got it. Say amen. All right. All right, we look here. Starting at verse 6. We're going to go from verse 6 to verse 12. I just want to read. It says, So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called out to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. The first thing that I want to point out in this story, the first thing when it comes to being a kingdom man and when it comes to being a real man for Christ and ending up in the body of Christ, is the first thing I want to point out is that God is calling for his kingdom men to be a covering. He's calling for his kingdom men here to be a covering. What does it mean to be a covering? A covering serves as a protector, a leader, a shelter. A covering provides the boundaries in which the family, the church, and the community should operate under. See, and this doesn't mean that as the covering that you're the ruler over your house or you own your wife. It doesn't mean those things. Only thing I'm saying is as the covering, it means that the man who is the covering is the one who is held accountable. If we look at verse 6 and 7, it points out, it says, "So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Now, there's a few things that jumped out to me when I was reading this part of the text that I want to share with you all today as it in regards to the man's role as the head. The first I noticed from this text is that even though both of them ate from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from, even though they both consumed the fruit from the tree of knowledge, nothing happened after Eve consumed the fruit. Nothing. You see, it wasn't until Adam took of his fruit. If you look at it, it says Eve ate the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband that was with her. So if he's going to eat it, obviously nothing dramatic happened yet, because if the earth and everything started shaking after she ate it, I'm going the other way. But the thing is, after Eve ate the fruit, then it said Adam ate the fruit, and then right after Adam ate it, it says then both of their eyes were open. Then the sin came in. Then the fall came. And here, I believe that God is giving the command to Adam. He gave the command to Adam not to eat of the fruit. He gave the command. He told Adam, these are the commands that I want you to keep. See, and this right here, it gives us insight to God's divine order for the family. I believe that God expects the man to lead and be the covering over his family. The second thing that stood out to me when I was looking at this part of the text is the fact that the scripture tells us that while Eve was breaking God's command, while she was being tempted and being deceived and slipping into sin and temptation, the text tells us that Adam was right there with her. It says, "Why?" And she gave it to her husband who was with her. So this leads me to believe that Adam was sitting there watching all this go down and foregoing his role as the lead to step in and be a covering over his wife. Yeah, we all may make mistakes. Yeah, we may all go down the wrong road, but it's up to the man to step in and say, no, this is what we're supposed to be doing. I understand that you're making a mistake, but that's why I'm here, to cover you. See, today we have too many, this also speaks to the passivity of our men today. See, the problem we have today is we have too many men who are willing to just sit back and play the background and forego the role and the responsibility that they were designed to operate in, which is as the lead. God expects kingdom men to be a covering for his family, not just sit by and watch aimlessly as your family walks down the path into destruction. Adam was just sitting there watching with all this go down. God is calling for his kingdom men to stand up and be a visible picture of what a man looks like, a man of God looks like. See, a lot of times we like to wonder why things are going crazy in our house, why the world has such a stronghold on our kids, and why our communities are the way they are. And we oftentimes ask ourselves, why are things so chaotic? And I venture to say that it's because a lot of us are missing our heads. Missing our heads. If you know anything, I play football, I play sports, and if you know anything about football, the body is going to go wherever they go. The body can't operate, the family can't operate, the community can't operate without the head. The second thing that I want to point out that from this scripture is the fact, from the text today, is the fact that not only is God calling the man, his kingdom men, to be a covering, he's also calling for kingdom men to be responsible. Be responsible. Let's look at verse 9. It says in verse 9, it says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?'" Now here, now, let me give you some backdrop. Right now, what just happened is the command was just broken. The sin was just committed. And they've already eaten from the fruit. And check out who's the first person God calls to. God calls out to Adam, and he says, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't say, "Eve, where are you?" Matter of fact, he didn't even say, "Adam and Eve, where are you?" He didn't say all of these. God's call is for the person that he holds responsible as the head when things get out of order, and that is the. For many of us right now, God is saying, "Adam, where are you? Johnny, where are you? Mark, where are you? But we're not responding because so many of us have relinquished our position in God's order to any and everybody else who is willing to take it. We have a problem today where men are handing over their roles as the head to the women in the family, and I'm not picking on the women. I love you guys. You guys have been doing an awesome job. If it wasn't for the women standing up and being forced into a position that they weren't designed to shoulder and to bear, then I don't know where we would be right now. So this is not to go on the women. I appreciate my strong women in here who is willing to step up and take the challenge, but I believe that God is saying, where are the men? Where are the men? See, due to the fact that we are lacking the presence of kingdom men in our homes and in our churches and in our communities, our young men are forced to seek out heads from TV, from gangs, rappers, athletes. Our young people are forced to seek out headship from their peers. How do you think that's going to work out? God is saying that it's time for kingdom men to step up and be responsible. God is saying that it's time for kingdom men to step up and be an example. And it's so funny, just to give you a quick picture of what that looks like, I was reading an article the other day, and it was talking about in Africa, at Kruger National Park, it was talking about how they were having this overflow elephant problem. They was having a population growth of elephants and was becoming overcrowded in this national park. And what they decided to do, the solution to this problem was they decided to uplift some of the females out of this park and the juvenile males. And they decided to relocate them into another reserve in Africa. And then after they did this, they started realizing that rhinos was turning up dead and gored to death. And they started realizing, seeing trees and everything knocked over and things are just animals that are being killed to extinction. And they were wondering, they was like, what is going on? They thought it was poachers at first, but then they noticed that the rhinos still had their horns attached. Like, what's going on? So what they did was they set up a hidden camera to find out what's going on. And surely to their surprise, they realized after watching the video that it was a band of juvenile marauder elephants causing chaos and goring, stomping, kicking, and just killing all of the rhinos to death. They were running around in wild packs just going crazy. And they were saying, oh, why is this, like, what's going on? What's going on? What's happening? Why are these young elephants acting so crazy? Why are these young elephants going off the deep end? And then they came to realize they were missing the men. They were missing the bull elephants who oftentimes in the wild naturally were the ones who were responsible for showing the young elephants, the juvenile elephants, how to walk and talk and just be as an elephant. So what they decided to do, they said, hold on, this is what we're going to do. We're going to create a crane big enough to airlift these elephants, these bull elephants. And they took 20 bull elephants and they airlifted them. They dropped them into the reserve. And when the 20 bull elephants got into the reserve, they seen the juvenile elephants seen them. They came, and the 20 bull elephants started circling around the juvenile elephants. And they started flapping their ears. And they started blowing their trunks. And they started stomping their feet and stomping into the ground. And they started walking around the bull elephants. And what they were doing in that moment was showing the juvenile elephants that your behavior has been unacceptable. After a few weeks, after the bull elephants was dropped in, the violence and the craziness and the chaos ceased. Why? Because the juvenile elephants had some bull elephants in there to show them the proper way to be an elephant, the proper way to grow as an elephant, the proper way to interact and conduct yourself as a bull elephant. Our problem today is we lacking some bulls. We need some bull elephants, and not just any bull elephants, some kingdom bull elephants, because trust and believe, all other areas in have bull elephants that are attracting young men, attracting our young daughters. So we need some bull elephants who are willing to stand up and be that example, be that role model to show. And when I say kingdom men and over the, when I say kingdom men and be uncovering over your house, that doesn't mean that you have to, it has to be your child. It doesn't mean that you have to be your child. If you're a kingdom man and you see a young brother who can, or a young sister who can benefit from having a bull elephant in his life, a role model, a kingdom man to show him how and bring him along and show him how to develop into a man, God is calling for you too. The third thing that I want to point out from this text is the fact that God is also calling for his kingdom men to man up. To man up. Time to stop making excuses. Time to stop making excuses. Look at what happens in verse 12. After everything, God comes to the, you know, God comes and he said, man, what's going on? Like, how you know you were naked? Did you eat from the tree? Once he was busted, once he was outed, once his sin was revealed, instead of manning up, look what Adam does. Verse 12, it says, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And then check it out. Not only was he blaming it on Eve, but this joker had the audacity to blame God. For the one, he went all past Eve. He said, you know what? I'm not even going to start at Eve. God, it's your fault. If you ain't give me this crazy woman right here, how many of us are blaming other people for the mistakes that are going on in the family? How many times are we seeing men who coming up with excuses on I can't see my child because my baby mama is crazy? What kind of... Oh, I can't... Oh, the finances are crazy because she's spending too... What? Who is God calling as the head? Hey, don't make excuses like Adam did. Adam failed to leave and to lead. And the thing is, in the same way, we do the same thing once things fall down and get out of order. We want to start pointing fingers, but kingdom men don't point fingers. Kingdom men don't make excuses. Kingdom men make it happen. When I think about, and here's another illustration from good old Jaden. I tell you, he gave me a lot of material. Good old Jaden, like, check this out. Jaden, I love my nieces and nephews, but they're around the same age, and, you know, I'm a meticulous person. So, you know, when my nieces and nephews come over, I know that my son's room is going to get turned up. It's going to be toys all over the place. It's going to be stuff broken and all those type of things. And when they come over and the stuff is messed up, and I say to Jaden, after they leave, I say, Jaden, why is all this stuff over the floor? Look, your remote control car is broken. Look, you're done. He said, Daddy, my dinosaur is broken. I said, well, that's because you're just throwing it all around and you're acting crazy when your cousins are here. I said, why is all this stuff over the floor? Jaden said, it wasn't me. I didn't do it, Daddy. And right then and there, I was able to seize that moment to begin to show him how a kingdom man responds in that moment. I was able to take that moment and say, Jaden, whose room is this? Who is the covering for the things that's in this room and goes and who is responsible for keeping your toys up and keeping your stuff clean and all of these type of things? And he says, me, Daddy. I said, so if anything is broken in your room and any mess that goes on in your room, I don't care what everybody else did. This is your room. You are the one who is responsible. Own up and don't make excuses. Don't try to blame other people. Blame yourself because you are the one who are responsible. And just like that, men, we are the one who are charged to be responsible. We are the one who God is calling and saying, Adam, where are you? God is calling for kingdom men to lead. So we need to answer the call. God is calling for kingdom men to lead. We need to answer the call. Finally, before we wrap up today, I want to talk about this. This story ends and it talks about the consequences that happens that come from when man fails to lead, when man fails to walk in the role that he was created to walk in. Let's check out the consequences. Let's look at the differences between the consequences. Because after all this happened, Adam started the blame game. Then they asked Eve, and she blamed it on the serpent and all this type of stuff. And so everybody doing the blame game. Let's look at the differences between the punishment. And the Lord said to the woman, "What have you done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, now check this out. He said, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put an enmity between you and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and she shall bruise your heel." That was the punishment for the he's on his belly, cursed all over, more than any other animal. Let's check out what he said to the woman. He said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrows and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children." See? y'all had it easy. It wasn't no epidurals, it wasn't none of that, no screaming. You just, bam, here's the kid. Hey, everybody happy. It's your fault. All right. But check out this part. He said, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Now, like the NLT version, where it says, "You should desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." Now, I think that's quite interesting. How many times have we heard, "She won't let me lead"? She always trying to walk in shoes. Like, I try to tell her that the pastor was saying that the man is the lead. I wish she was here today. How often have we heard that? And the thing is, what I believe I'm referring to here is he's telling Eve, now, because God's order has always been God's order. The man was the covering for the woman and the family. But here, I believe he's saying, now it's going to be, I'm going to bring it to your knowledge. You're going to have that inner, when things are out of order, you're going to have that inner desire to take his spot. Because this is what you wanted to do. Obviously, this is what you wanted to do. You did it just a few minutes ago. But so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put the inner desire in you to step over him and to want to be in the position that you weren't designed to be. And now you're going to be uncomfortable because you're trying to be in a position and you're chasing after the position that I didn't create you to be in. The thing is, the order has always been the same. But before up until this point was agreeable with this order. Like, it wasn't something that was in her head. He said, "I'm going to bring that knowledge to you. Since you want to be so smart, I'm going to bring the knowledge to you." And I thought that was just an interesting point that I wanted to point out right there. But let's look at Adam's punishment. Then he said to Adam, now check out this. I'm going to emphasize my voice. I'm going to emphasize my voice on parts that I think is important. Anyways, he said to Adam, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread for out of it. Now look at now. To me, that was a pretty. We thought the other punishments was tough, but if we look at the difference between all three punishments. Adam's punishments was the only one that had death connected to it. See, because when men failed to operate as the head, as the in the position that they were called to operate in, the results is death. Death of a family. Death of a church. Death of a community. When we have to, when if we look at it, his punishment, it wasn't no death up until this point. Here we can see that if we don't have kingdom men stepping up and we wondering why so often things are out of, we see the dying of generations and the dying of strong structure and foundation in our churches and in our family, it's because we are missing the head. And we see the punishment for us not leading is death. And I just want to—I just want to make a call and outcry for it to you today. It's our responsibility to be a covering. It's our responsibility to be responsible. It's our responsibility to man up and not make any excuses. Lead as—I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect. I'm not saying that you're going to always get everything right, but God is for you to bear and wear the burden of covering the family, not any other way. And he's saying any other way besides the way that I had designed it, is the results is death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,